I prayed for you this morning, brother.
Praise God now. Amen. I need it. Praise the Lord. I need a big pulpit. That's all right. We'll do it this way.
I'll give you a hint. If you slide this up, you just slip your Bible across the top on that.
Okay. Amen.
I have that same problem.
If you would, I'd ask you to stand in the reading of God's Word. Now, those that can stand, if you can't, that's okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, started verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which is first is spiritual, is not spirit. I'm sorry. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. That's a no-brainer. You have to have a natural birth before you can have a physical birth, a spiritual birth. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven, so you don't misunderstand who he is. Isaiah said, chapter 43, says, I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. Therefore, you are my witnesses that I am God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to be in the service today. I ask that you give me liberty, dear God, to speak the words that you've given me to say. I ask you, the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit of God, use it to convict us, to draw us, and to edify the body of Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's only two Adams in the Bible that God's concerned with. That's the first Adam and the second Adam. There is no third Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. I'll get that straight to bed. And I told him I haven't preached in 2 years, so I'm a little nervous when I started this morning. And then I had this burping thing start down. That's why I had to go outside a few minutes ago. So everything. But there's two Adams that God is concerned with, the first and the last. There is no second, there is no third, there is no fifth, there is no sixth, there is none. The first Adam. Is a created being. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Remember that word, living soul. That's important. He was not a God. He was not God. He was formed and fashioned from the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. That living soul is yours, folks. People don't understand that. Your soul is yours, and it's going to go exactly where you take it. It's your whole being. It's you, the inner man, the new man, encased in a body of sinful flesh. And it's the only part of man that can be and must be born again, must be given a new birth. Is that soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. He was not created. He was not formed. He was not fashioned. He was made a quickening spirit, a giver of life, regenerator, in regard to his power, his might, and his ability, exalted above all others, having the birthright, the firstborn from the dead. He has always been, even before the world was. John 17, chapter 17, verse 5, if you want to turn there. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam in the Bible. That glory that was in Mary's womb took on a body of bone and flesh and blood and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And that day, God was manifested in the flesh. I say God because I want people to understand. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, priestless and Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. God is your Savior, folks. People sometimes Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Sometimes people misread the word, and I ran this by Ron the other day. Some people say God gave only birth to only one person. No. If you're born again, God gave you your birth. Adam is called the Son of God in the Bible. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Folks, he among self begot us with the word of truth, as in James 1:18. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. If people today could realize and understand God's word, all the turmoil, all the bickering and envy, the jealousies, the prejudices, because everyone in this world is born is one of two families, folks. You're either in Adam's family or in the Lord Jesus Christ's family. That's the only two families on this earth. And a lot of times, I try to explain to people, you know, heaven, there's not going to be a Mexican heaven. There's not going to be a Gentile heaven. There's not going to be a Jewish heaven. There's not going to be a black heaven. We're all one in Christ Jesus, folks, in heaven. So you're all one in Christ, the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as have been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. There is neither Jew, nor Gentile, nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. We're talking about the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the regenerator of a race of people with everlasting life of which he is the family head. Before you get to more of the good news, let's go to the bad news. Adam sinned. He rebelled against God. Eve was in the transgression. But when the devil or serpent got Eve, he had nothing. He had to get the seed of man, which is passed from father to son to this day. And when Adam sinned, he corrupted the seed of man. He took on the seed of the devil, of your father the devil. There's so much to explain. If I go there, we'll be here all day. But Adam, your man's seed was corrupted. Wherefore, by one man, you want to go. I tell you what, turn to Romans 12. We're going to be there for a while because we're going to bounce back and forth to Romans 12, 13 to 14 for a while. Verse 12, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin entered the world by Adam, the father of the whole human race. Everyone that is born of woman has Adam as their natural father. That's why all sin and death by sin has passed upon all men, for we all have the same father. And that seed is still passed from father to son today. My papers are moving all around, folks. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. God created man in the image, in his image, created he them, male and female created he them. Man no longer would sin, had the image of God, as you'll see when we get to Genesis 5. And Adam lived, no, I'm not going there. All of us didn't inherit Adam's hair color. All of us didn't inherit Adam's skin color. All of us didn't inherit Adam's hair color. Or his eye color. But every human being born a woman inherited Adam's sin nature. And the proof of your sin is not your DNA, it's your conduct. So proof that Adam is your father is that 6-foot hole in the ground you face. in the future. The fact that you're going to die and whatever is done with your remains will be buried in that 6-foot hole. That's the proof that you're at Adam, that you have Adam as a father. And Adam all die. You can argue with the Bible all you want to, but until you meet someone that doesn't die, the Bible stands, folks. The Word of God. There is no science in the world that could refute these facts. Everyone on earth showed up. Self-interest, self-loving, self-will, and self-serving. And all have the world leave this world by dying. Because in Adam all die. You have God's word on it. Ezekiel 18 said, God said, All souls are mine. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, even so also the soul of the Son. And the soul that said it, it shall die. Notice God said soul, he didn't say person, soul. That soul is you. It's hard to get across to people. That soul is the entire you encased in the body of flesh. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I have a note here, and it takes a long time to choose it, but I'll tell you. I have concluded that every human being has a choice when they die. It sounds a little funny to you, but it doesn't when you explore it. You can die in your sins and go to a place called hell. Or you can choose Christ as your Lord and Savior and be converted and die when you come to Him. Now, people that understand that. I can explain it, but it takes too long. If you want to, we'll talk about it later. But you die when you come to Christ because you pass from death into life. When your soul is converted, it's quickened, it's cut away from your flesh, and never sins again. That soul is sealed. And then when you die, you'll pass from death into life. At that point, you pass from death into life. So everyone can choose when they die. They can be crucified with Christ and pass from death into life. Again, it's your choice. By the way, if you don't choose Christ, the grave is not the end. It's only a doorway that leads you to heaven or hell. It's not the end by any means. Have you held it? Romans 5, is it 5:13? Let's read verse 13 in Romans. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. That's like, you know, once you're saved, well, I'm not going to go there. It's too long to take that. Everyone, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Why did death reign from Adam to Moses? Because you're Adam as your father, and Adam all die. God said the soul is in it, it'll die. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Praise God, that's everyone that's in Christ. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And I just answered that question. Let's look at that. Go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. We'll look at the generations of Adam briefly. Oh, man. Notice in verse 3, I was going to point this out earlier and I didn't. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, after his image, after his likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. But if you go through the genealogy, generations of Adam, you'll find that they all died. Verse 5, and he died. Verse 8, and he died. Verse 11, and he died. Verse 14, and he died. Verse 17, and he died. And so on. If you want to look at the generations of Jesus Christ, go to Matthew chapter 1. There's no death. Nowhere. Matthew chapter 1, the generations of Christ. The generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of Abraham. You'll find no death there, folks. God said, in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all shall be made alive. There's 1,500 years difference between Moses and Matthew. So I don't think they got together and conspired before they wrote the books. Let's finish off Romans 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Folks, everybody don't commit the same sin. Everybody sins, but everybody doesn't commit the same sin. I'm not a sinner because I ate fruit in the garden. I'm a sinner because I was in Adam, who is the figure of him that is to come. Here in verse 14, we have a promise that someone is going to show up who prefigures Adam. It would do no good for someone to show up if he's a sinner. He could not save us. Had sinned after the similitude of Adam. But if someone could show up that had no sin of their own and could give a new birth to a race of people, beginning a new birth of people with new order of beings that would be born again of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, that would be good news. But first, I'm one for finishing off the old news first. Psalm 51, if you will, is a prayer that David wrote of repentance. Psalm 51, verse 5. Well, let's read verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, if you'll note that, against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done evil in the sight, and in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David wrote this psalm after he had sinned with Bathsheba. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah the Hittite. He had him killed. He sinned against his nation, his army. But he noted something. All sin is against God. All sin is against God. You know, I do things that most people don't do. I wondered about David. And I wrote these words. What David did sprang from what he is. His actions were the outworking of his heart, his mind, his thoughts, and his own lust. Between verse 4 and 5, David, he must have backtracked, realizing that all sin is rebellion against the holy God, against God's law. Here's a man that God said in Acts 23, to whom also he gave this testimony and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. He must have thought, how did I get here? How did I get to this point? What is the cause of my sin? And then I think he wrote verse 5, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Folks, let me say, since I've got other people to order, having children in marriage is not sinful. In fact, God said, be fruitful and multiply. And I think 1 Corinthians says the body of the husband belongs to the wife, and the body of the wife belongs to the husband. So what your father and mother did is not sin. Not sinful. When David come to himself, realizing God's law is holy, God is holy, and the law was given to us for schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3:24, where says the law was given to schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. God makes us a sinner and condemns us, actually, before we tell him we didn't do all the things we did do. Every one of you came from Adam. So you have Adam, corrupted seed, the serpent seed. And Adam had him in his genes. He had in his genes every makeup, every size, every color, every shape that is manifested in the unfolding of the whole human race. It was in Adam, and now it's in us. Sitting here today, if you're a Mexican, Adam is your father. If you're black, Adam is your father. If you're Egyptian, Adam is your father. Filipino, Adam, it doesn't matter. Adam is the father of the whole human race. And every man has committed an Adam. Every sin that man has committed is Adam's genes, folks. That's important that you remember that. Turn to Acts 17. We'll read verse 24, 25, and 26. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temple made with hands. Neither he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood. This is one thing that a lot of times when I'm witnessing, a lot of times it depends on people, I'll point this out to them. Have you ever thought about that? God is made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. That means every person you meet is one is brother or sister. People don't understand that. The prejudices, the hate that's going on in the world today. Right now they're trying to pit the blacks against the whites by showing so much mercy and things, making blacks foremost of everything. But it goes all over the world. Dayton stirs up all over the time. So when you're witnessing, by the way, yesterday at the mall I got out, 8 or 12 tracts? I found people that take tracts. They'll talk to you about the Lord. One lady talked to Ludie for 15 minutes. People, they're there. If you'll go, they're there. Since Adam is your father and he's my father and makes all humans brothers and sisters, every kindred, people, and nation. We all inherited Adam's sin nature. What entered into the world was not the sin of eating fruit in a garden. What entered into the world was sin, with all its evil mutations, with its variations, with all its different forms, diseases, and pain, and agony, and death. It was all there in Adam. That's why in Adam all die. I was reading also Job. Job asked God a question that every man should have the answer to. How then can a man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? The answer is, with man it's impossible. With God all things are possible. If you could stop sinning right now, folks, think about this. If you stop sinning today, right now, never commit another sin, as long as you live, you'd still be sinful. You'd still be sinful, folks. Sin is, all that sin was in Adam. It's as much a part of your being as your skeleton system, as your circulatory system, as your, all the other systems too, your skeleton. It's your personality. It's you. Your genes will make you what you are. You were shaped in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. Job said also, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The word of God says we all go astray from our mother's womb. You don't have to teach children how to do right. Now you have to teach children how to do wrong. They do right. You have to teach them how to do right. God's word tells us you can't get sweet water out of a bitter well. You can't take something out of an unclean thing and make it clean. You can baptize it. You can sanitize it. You can reform it. And you can membership it. And you can confirm it. But it'll still be unclean. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Of all things, definitely wicked. Who can know it? Man is a sinner. He is spiritually lost. He's spiritually blind. He is spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, unable to discern spiritual things. He must have a new birth. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that in the flesh there's nothing you can do that will please God, folks. Romans 8:13 says, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we're told to control our flesh, to govern our flesh, to mortify our flesh. Folks, knowing that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. One of the things that I key on a lot of times from people, you read the verses in the Bible, and it seems like we don't pay any attention to them. I'm trying to find a tissue. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. We read that, then that was it. God puts you on that. When you come to His Son, He puts you on that cross with Jesus Christ. You're crucified with Christ, folks. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of who? Whose faith is it? The Son of God. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's your soul. That's the inner man. That's the old man. Has to die that the new man can have birth. No death of the old man. There is no birth of a new man. As I said, you have to be free because you'll be married to another, folks. Romans 7:4. And you're going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to be free from sin. You have to be free from the law. And only one thing will free you from both, and that's the death. Death will free you from the law and free you from sin. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away there. All things have become new. I had a preacher tell me one time, don't say that. That don't mean that everything that you're made new, you're a new creation. I said, well, what do you do with Ephesians 2:10? Well, we as workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained, and we should walk in them. You're a new person, folks. You're not an old person made over. You're not recapped. You're not reformed. You have new genes going through your body. You're born of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's go to John 3, if you will. John chapter 3. I can't see the time. Well, let's just, I'll go to verse 3 then. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is looking for the kingdom of God with a spiritual kingdom with physical eyes. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Luke explains that to you. You're looking for a spiritual kingdom with physical eyes, and it's an invisible kingdom. The kingdom of God, Luke tells you, is within you. Luke 17:20-21. For the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Where is your soul? This flesh is not born again. Your soul is made is quickened by the Spirit of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can this be? How can a man be enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again? And I would ask Nicodemus, what good would it do? If you're born two times, you'd still be unclean. If you're born 10 times, you'd still be unclean. Physical birth, you'll never be clean. You have to be born of an incorruptible seed. So whatsoever I teach you, Nicodemus, won't save you. It won't make you clean. Whatever miracle I do won't make you clean. You must be born again. Whatever good works you do will not make you clean. Your soul must have a new birth, quickened by the Spirit of God. You must have a spiritual birth to enter into the kingdom of God, an invisible birth to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, or born of water, that matches your physical birth, and of the Spirit, being born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. There's a spiritual birth to enter into an invisible kingdom. You must have a spiritual birth in addition to your physical birth. One does not replace the other. It comes alongside of the other in addition to the other. It supersedes your first birth. Jesus Christ did not replace Adam as Adam today. Jesus came along in addition to Adam to offer every human being a superior life to Adam, so that the last Adam can give you a birth greater and superior than the birth you received from the first Adam. Let's look at that. 5:14. Are y'all still in Romans 5? I'm going back to 14 one more time. Chapter 4, verse 5, verse 14. I'll read the whole verse in case we've seen it. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. Transgression. Who is the figure of him that is to come? How is Adam a figure of Christ that is to come? Adam gives birth to a race of people. Jesus Christ gives birth to a race of people. That's how they're simple. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that, folks? Do you understand that? Just as Adam gives birth to a race of people, they're born dead in trespasses and sin, Jesus Christ gives birth to all those who come to him and call upon his name and repent of their sins and ask him for their salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, the difference is Adam gives birth to everyone. Every human being is in Adam's race. Christ gives birth only to those who will repent of their sins and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ with all their heart and call upon the name of the Lord to save their souls. Quickened by the Spirit of Christ, been born again, regenerated, you have a new father. And new genes run through your body. And Adam's race does not become members of Jesus' race. All of Adam's race doesn't become members of Jesus' race, sadly to say. But everyone who is born again into the family of God receive everlasting life. What's the difference? You're still going to die because you all came from Adam. The difference is all in Adam die and go to hell. In Christ, you die when you come to Christ. You're quickened by the Spirit of God, made alive in Christ. You have passed from death unto life everlasting, been born again of the incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the difference, folks. Praise God. You know, I find most people don't believe it. You know, I don't know what I spoke to him about. Are y'all familiar with Enoch? Everybody know who Enoch was? Remember he walked with God and God translated him and took him home? How would you like to go like that? Would you like to go like that, folks? Would you? If you're in Christ, you've already been like that. Colossians 1:13 has delivered you from the power of darkness. And has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. You're seated in heavenly places, folks. That soul will never sin. In Christ, you're already there, folks. That's how you've passed from death into life. I haven't figured it out yet, but God's going to give me the answer why I can be in heaven and here too. It's a spiritual thing. I know that. It's not a physical thing. It's definitely a spiritual thing because this body's going back to the ground from where it came and my spirit's going back to God that gave it. And that soul is going where you take it. People don't know that. People don't realize that. Matthew 6:16-26. What is the profit of man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You remember Rachel when she gave birth to Benjamin? She died, and they what? Saw her soul departing. That soul is going where you take it. God knows it's going where you take it. You have to make a choice. No choice is a choice, folks. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Folks, you've passed from death to life. Believest thou this? No, most people don't believe it. Most people in Christ don't believe it. I'm sorry to say that, folks. If they did, they'd live like it. I'm not going to go there. There is no second Adam. There's no other. That's why there's no other testament. No Book of Mormons. The Book of Mormons is so called. There's no other apostles or prophets. That's why Muhammad is so called. God said it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. There's only two Adams. If you miss that last Adam, you'll miss everything. Only one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered death and was buried and descended into the lower parts of the earth, dropped off that thief on the cross in paradise, Abraham's bosom, and preached to the spirits in prison, and through death, that he might destroy him that have the power of death, and took the keys of hell and death, and on the third day and the third night, he came out of that grave, and the angel told the women, he's not here, he's risen, thank God. He's risen. Folks, it's 14 more pages or 12 more pages. Listen, the whole thing is this. The whole sermon can be done in one long sentence. We have to tell people about Jesus Christ because in Adam all die. There's no choice. They die. Ask her a lot of times when I'm witnessing. I'm 85, so I get away with a lot of things you don't. I tell them, listen, I'm crying because I look in your eyes. You're going to hell if you don't see Christ. You don't. You have to make a choice. It's urgent, folks. You can use this one missionary story, whatever you want to, but folks, I'm telling you, and Adam all die. And where they go is not a good place. But we have the answer for them. And I try to tell a lot of these people that are my friends. They're military. They don't think bang bang. They think bang bang is the way to go. Let me tell you something, folks. That's not the way to go. That's only a more problem. There's the permanent answer right there. In Christ. That's the only way to go. Thank you, Pastor. I hope I didn't go over time. I can't see the clock.